Joining me now to talk about the future of unions in America is Bernard Anderson. He's a professor at the Wharton School of Business at the University of Pennsylvania. Professor Anderson, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
We just heard from Linda Chavez Thompson, and I'm curious whether or not you think she's being a bit optimistic. I mean, based on obviously her affiliation with the AFL-CIO, she's going to put the best face on. But many see unions in this country as dinosaurs, something that will have to, in fact, morph and change as we see a different world today.
I think that she is a bit optimistic, but she has to be. Bear in mind also that she is a member of an organization that just split. But let me say this, Ed. About 10% of all private sector workers today are members of unions. In 1950, 25% of all workers were members of unions. And unions then have become much weaker because they have lost substantial numbers of members. Unions no longer have the political clout to get favorable labor legislation. And because of global competition, they no longer have the bargaining power to get better wages and benefits.
Let me throw one other idea on the table here, Professor, and that is some believe historically that unions started to believe their own press, that they believe themselves to be a bit more powerful than they ultimately were and hurt themselves in the long run. How much credence do you give to that argument?
I don't think there's much credence in that argument. Unions were very successful. What Linda Chavez Thompson said about unions being the bulwark of creating the middle class, quite frankly, is true. But that was a phenomenon that developed after the 1930s when, because of favorable federal legislation during the New Deal period, union membership increased substantially. And let me say, given the focus of your program in many cases, that black workers benefited enormously from the expansion of union power during the 1930s and the 1940s. Black workers represent 11% of the workforce, 18% of all union members, and the premium for black workers as members of unions, that is, the wages and annual earnings they have if they are union members compared with non-union members, is over 30%.
There are those who are disappointed, frankly, in the lack of reaching out perhaps between the two, and that is the old stalwarts of the civil rights movement and the union often walked hand in hand when you talked about political movement in this country. Why did we see that breakdown, and is there a need for this alliance again?
There's not only a need for the alliance again, but there is a significant need to increase the presence of black leaders of unions. Ed, the organized labor has had a checkered history with black workers in this country. Until the 1930s, black workers were either excluded from union membership or they were put in segregated locals that were led by white men. The only significant black union was that which was organized by A. Philip Randolph, the Brotherhood of Sleeping Car Porters, and A. Philip Randolph, for many years, was the only black member of the AFL-CIO.
We heard Linda Chavez Thompson rail against Walmart and companies like it, but there are those who suggest that Walmart was able to go where they were because the unions didn't necessarily see themselves in the spot where the world changed. They weren't forward-thinking enough. They weren't thinking about how the workforce would change. Again, what's your thought on that argument?
Wages in Walmart are slightly higher than in the retail sector, and benefits are slightly lower. So the unions beat up on Walmart, but the fact is that Walmart's economic benefits are not all that different from what you find in other sectors of the retail industry. But unions over the past two decades have put almost all their eggs in the political basket. And what unions need to do now is to emphasize more organizing the unorganized. Politics has not been beneficial to trade unions in the recent past, and I doubt very seriously whether it will be beneficial this time around. They can elect a Democratic control of the House and the Senate and still not get favorable legislation that benefits union organization.
Bernard Anderson is a professor at the Wharton School of Business at the University of Pennsylvania. And earlier we heard from Linda Chavez Thompson, the executive vice president of the AFL-CIO.